Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today I'm speaking with Lori Day, educational psychologist and consultant, writer and blogger with over 25 years of experience in the field of education. In this final segment, we talk about the school, specialists, and parents working together when a child has special needs. Can you talk a little bit about the difference challenges that parents of students with special needs face?
It is so difficult for a parent to feel alone and to feel that their child is developing in some way that isn't typical, that doesn't seem like how their sister's child is developing or how their friend's child is developing. If a preschool teacher or someone, you know, a daycare provider, someone who's had a lot of experience with a lot of kids says something to you like, you know, it may be nothing, and then tells you a couple of things that they've noticed about your child, the best thing you can do as a parent, as hard as it is not to be defensive about it, to understand that this person cares about your child and wants what's best for your child, because what child experts know is that the window of time for remediating certain types of disabilities can be very short and can be early. And the best example I can give of that is autism. If you can get on top of autism, if you can identify it and get on top of it when a child is 18 months or 2 years old, the outcome for them in terms of how their life's going to go is so significantly different than if you spend all the preschool years in denial and then they turn up in public kindergarten and the school really gets on you to do something about it. You've lost 3 years, and you've lost the three most important years there are. So education about that is really important so that parents understand that even though they have this gut feeling, they might be risking their child if they ignore it. Because the worst thing that happens is you go to early intervention with your child who's under three, you get an evaluation, and you get a professional opinion about what's happening. You do not have to accept it. You do not have to do the recommendations, you do not have to do the services, but at least get the information, and then you can make that decision.
One thing that makes me feel better is when doctors say, let's wait a month, or let's try it for a month, or something like that.
Absolutely.
And I think, okay, I can always evaluate this in a month, and if it's not working, I can evaluate it. I can try it for 2 months.
That's right. And you are given opportunities on a regular basis by the service provider for review. And by law, you have to be given them. But you can request more frequent check-ins than what you're given. And you yourself as a parent have to remember you are always in control. You can look at those records anytime you want. You can stop services anytime you want. I mean, no one is taking your child from you. These are decisions you make for your child. This is perhaps the best example I can give of when what you're talking about let's give it a week or 2 weeks, let's have a short-term goal, let's monitor it, is most helpful. One of the most difficult issues in the area of special needs that parents face is medicating their children for ADHD. Mm-hmm. So many kids are medicated, so many parents are worried about it, and rightly so. The best thing to do is a trial. You do not have to make the decision, I am going to medicate my child, or I am not. You make the decision initially, I am going to do a two-week trial of this drug at this low dose and see. And you keep a log at home, and the teacher keeps a log at school, and you compare notes after 2 weeks, and you see, are things different? Are they better? Is anything worse? Are there any side effects? What's going on? Sometimes the dose needs to change, or the medication needs to change, or it needs to be stopped entirely. But you're not making a decision for years for your child. You're making a decision for 2 weeks. You can't make the decision for 2 days. 2 days is not long enough to tell what's really going on.
On the other hand, I see so many parents who seem to be not at peace with whatever decision they've made. And this, I can say, from the experience of our camps and our Hebrew schools, our supplementary schools, because in those situations, often a parent will say, well, I'm not going to share the information or the IEP or the medication. Well, we'll take the kid off the medication for these environments.
Yeah.
Is that...
No, to be back and forth that way about something as big a decision as, say, medicating your child, you're only human feeling that way. Medication holidays, as they're called, are sometimes actually recommended, especially if growth is an issue and having the child be off it for the summer allows them to catch up on their appetite and grow a little bit. So sometimes there's medical reasons for doing it, and it's not just the parents saying, let's not do it. But sometimes it is the parents saying, let's not do it, because they need check-ins. The child is growing and changing all the time. Any day in the life of a child is just a snapshot. And so at some point, of course, curiosity is going to kick in, and maybe they don't need it anymore.
Right.
And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. But what I'll tell you what I don't like. What I don't like is when they're lack of transparency and honesty, because you're setting up the camp or the teacher or whoever is caring for your child when you're not honest about what you're concerned about and what you want to do. Some parents say, well, if I told the camp or I told the teacher that I was removing the medication, they would automatically see a problem. So I don't want them to know.
Right.
And I understand that view. At the same time, I've seen situations spiral downwards very rapidly when there isn't a plan that's put in place. Because if you don't talk about it, you can't make the plan. And the plan is, we're looking for how many times a day this behavior happens, or how, you know, so that you have some measurable, not only subjective, way of determining whether the medication or the technique or whatever the thing is helping or hurting, or some of both. If you don't have an actual plan, then how are you going to assess it at the end?
And that data gathering seems like a good tool for building trust and also having information to make decisions off of.
Absolutely. And it's especially critical that we do the data gathering that you're talking about when more than one thing are being looked at in terms of how they work synergistically. So, for example, I am not a believer in either medication or behavioral techniques. For some kids, both things together are exponentially more helpful than either thing apart. So when you have a complicated situation like we're doing medication and also doing, you know, these behavior mod techniques within the class, you have to be keeping data, because you have to be able to get at how those things are working together and, you know, whether at some point could taper down the medication because the child has learned and internalized and is now generalizing some of the techniques that they've learned therapeutically. You see what I'm saying? So the data gathering part's really important, and parents just have to see that this is a series of steps and that the landscape will change. What their child is like as a very active, fidgety 5-year-old is going to look different when the child is 8, is going to look different when the child is 12, and it's an ongoing conversation and an ongoing analysis. It's not static at all. It's also important that parents understand that there's a lot of support for them. So this is not self-promotion, but there are educational consultants all over the country. The IECA is a good group for finding, you know, an educational consultant. They do certain types of things, and then psychologists do other sorts of things, but parents should feel like they can reach out and get that help. It's not all on them to decide, and it's not all on the school to decide. There are lots of people that are part of a team that works with kids.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.